Coffin on Rachel.
Come on, Amelia.
Cheers. No. Just put that on there.
Praise the Lord. If we can, I just ask that we have just a time of prayer. Pray and ask the Lord that He minister to us tonight. Hallelujah. Lord, Heavenly Father, we come before You, my God, and we ask, Lord, that You just open our hearts to Your Word. I pray, my God, the Lord, we would learn tonight, my God. Lord, that we'd be challenged, my God. Please, my God, that You know, Lord, each of us, my God, and where we are. Please, my God. Just open Your Word to us, my God, that we receive from You tonight, my God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray. Praise the Lord. So we're continuing through 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read from verse 19. He says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win them all. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ, that I might win those who are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be a partaker of it with you." So, just to recap just slightly just where we are in chapter 9. Paul deals with, in chapter 8, he deals with those who are weak in their faith or in their conscience, and also those who are strong in their faith. And he speaks about eating food that's been sacrificed to idols. So what he says is that for us whose faith is strong, the food that's been sacrificed to idols, we know that those idols, they're nothing. And so we thank God for that food and we eat it, and it doesn't mean anything to us. We're not impacted by it. It doesn't affect us. But he says, but there are others whose faith is weak. And their conscience says to them that, well, if this is sacrificed to an idol, I don't want to touch it because I don't want to let God down. And so for them, in their own conscience, in their faith, it's wrong for them. And so what Paul says is that even though to us, if we do it, it's not sin, it's not wrong. But if I'm causing my brother, whose faith maybe isn't so strong as mine, if I'm causing him a problem, and I'm going to cause him to stumble by my actions, I won't do it. And so he makes it very important that we have to think about the needs of other people before we consider and think about the needs of ourselves. Chapter 9, at the beginning of chapter 9, up until where we are, he speaks about the right that he has as an apostle, and anybody else who was an apostle of Christ, that if they're going around spreading the gospel, they have a right to be looked after by the church so that they would be provided for. They're going around doing the work of God, they're spreading the gospel, so he says it's only right really that we are provided for. But even though that's a right, Paul says, I chose not to be provided for. I chose not to be a burden to you. Because I didn't want to be a stumbling block for anybody coming to Christ. Now, as I'm sure we all know today, money is always a problem. It's always a problem. It doesn't matter what church, whether it's a Gorgie church or a Travellers church, money has always been a problem for people. You go right back to the time of Ananias and Sapphira, it was a problem in the early church because people loved money more than they did the things of God. It becomes a problem today because it's, you know, people, they're on about money, they're on about this, they're on about... So instead of it being a problem, Paul says, look, I didn't want to be a burden to anybody. I just wanted to come and reach you with the gospel. And so again, all of what he speaks about in the early part of chapter 9, again, is it's not about his own need or his own right to receive these things. He says, I'm more concerned about you, about your welfare, about reaching you with the gospel. So again, it's on about the needs of others before the needs of himself. And there he goes on a little bit more with that in mind, because now he says, though I'm free from all men, that means Paul he didn't owe anybody anything. He wasn't in debt to anybody. Nobody could say to Paul, well, Paul, we've done this, we've done that for you, well, you've got to give us this. He was free from any obligation, he was free from any of that. But then he says, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. You see, Paul's concern was always the needs of somebody else. It was always what he was able to do for someone else. Even if it meant him going without the things that he had the right to receive, he still put the needs of other people first. You see, for Paul, there was no greater need than the gospel. There was no greater need than to reach people with the gospel. So much so that he would go without financially, so much so that he would go without food, and the things that people at the time that we take for granted today, he would go without that for the sake of just being able to reach that few more people. And he goes on and he says that to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win the Jews. Now it's a bit of a funny statement because Paul is a Jew. The Bible says he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was, you know, from the tribe of Benjamin. If you wanted to look and say, well, that is what a Jew should be like, Paul was it. So to say to the Jews he became a Jew so that he could win the Jews. You see, remember for Paul, like any of the other Jews at the time that hadn't believed in Jesus, that hadn't believed in the message of Christ, they were under the law. They continued to keep the law of Moses. For them, their righteousness would only ever be obtained by keeping the law. The problem with that was they couldn't keep the law. They continually stumbled and fell. So it was an impossible task. But for them, they tried to get righteousness from keeping the law. Well, Paul, on the Damascus Road, meets with Jesus and realises that everything he's been striving for, everything he's been running after, was of no use to him. And everything he looked for all of his life was found in Jesus. It wasn't found in the law, it wasn't found anywhere else. It was found in Jesus Christ. And so Paul there understands that the righteousness that he has, and the righteousness that everyone needs, isn't found in the law. And so he doesn't need to do all of the ceremonial acts that come with the law. He doesn't need to follow all of the washings, all of the cleansings, all of the things that the law comes with to try to make you right in God's sight, because he knows it's only Jesus that can make you right in the sight of God. And so all of that part of the law, Paul doesn't need anymore. But for the sake of reaching the Jews, Paul continued to live in a way to keep those things for the sake of reaching them. You see, again, Paul did something in his life for the sake of reaching the Jewish people. Because if he'd cut all of these things off in his life, he would have gone to the Jews. And remember, wherever Paul went into the synagogues first. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles, not to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. But wherever he went, he still went to the Jews first. If he'd stopped everything and all of these other things, then when he would have gone, the Jews would have firstly said to him, "We don't want to associate with you because you don't keep this law, you don't keep that, you don't do these things." So straight away, it would have just been a barrier between Paul and the Jews. So for the sake of reaching them, Paul continued to do certain things to be able to reach the people. That's why it says, to the Jews he became as a Jew. To those who are under the law, as under the law. Again, he's speaking about those who live their life bound by the law. You see, Paul wasn't bound by the law. He didn't need to be bound by the law. But for the sake of reaching them, he would be. You see, it was all about reaching somebody else. And the problem we have today in our Christian lives, we think reaching the lost is just about going and telling them, Jesus loves you, you need to be saved. Your service to God is much more than just going telling somebody about Jesus. It's got to be your whole life. It has to be my whole life. You see, if I live like the world, and I do everything I want to do, and I'm a bad testimony, and I do all manners of things wrong, when I think, well, I'm going to go and tell somebody that they need Jesus, it has no impact. It has no effect. Your life doesn't open a door for you to bring the gospel. You see, what Paul was saying was, my life is a key to be able to open a door for me to be able to preach to all people. Whether they're Jews, whether they're Gentiles, whoever they are, my life and the way I live it is an open door for me to be able to preach to them. He lived his life with the goal in mind, I just want to reach people. That was his life. He goes on and he says that to those who are without law, as without law. Not being without law towards God, but under law towards Christ. Those who were without law were the Gentiles. It's me and you. We weren't born under the law of Moses. The Gentiles in Israel weren't born under the law of Moses. They weren't bound by their laws. So Paul approaches the Gentiles in a different way. You see, Paul starting to speak about the Old Testament scriptures and about the law and everything else, what Paul does is he explains and speaks to them about the things that they understand. He speaks about creation, he speaks about the God of heaven, he speaks about the things they can see. And you see, Paul doesn't come to try to explain all about the law of Moses and the washings and the cleansings, because it doesn't mean nothing to them. Paul didn't need to keep them things to them to be able to reach the Gentiles. And so Paul associates with the Gentiles in the way that he's able to reach them. But something he says here is to make clear, he says, but not being without law towards God. but under law towards Christ. And what he says is, even though he says that he lives without law, he's talking about the law of Moses, but he's saying that I didn't live with that law towards Christ. So that meant he still lived in a godly manner. You know, there are certain things in the law, such as how you would wash yourself, or how you would prepare your food, or how you would do certain things, or certain foods you wouldn't eat. Well, those things don't apply to a Gentile. But what does apply to a Gentile is still part of what was in the law of God about serving no other gods but one. You know, about honouring your father and your mother, about not committing adultery, about all of these other, these were moral laws. It was a godly way to live. And so he explains and says, I may be without law in a certain way, but not as far as the way in which I live. My testimony. My conduct. He still kept that law as far as living for Christ. I've heard some Christians say, about when they're talking about their unsaved families or their unsaved friends, and they say, you know, you can't be too holy. You know, you've got to try to be like them a bit. You've got to try to show them that we're the same. And so some Christians, they say, well, I'm only going to go to the pub and I'm going to have a shandy. Or I'm going to go to a certain place, or I'm going to do a certain thing. You've got to show them that you're like them. That's wrong. That's wrong. You will never win anyone to Christ by being like the world. You won't reach anybody for Jesus if you're going to go to a pub and have a shandy with them. You know, you're not going to show them anything different if you're living like them. And that's what Paul's saying here. I reached them on their level, but I was never without the law of Christ. Paul never compromised to reach anybody. He may have changed his approach. He may have tried to get on the level with people in many ways, but he would never compromise on his testimony, on his conduct, and the way that he lived. It's all about, for Paul, it was all about how he lived. And not just in front of people. It was all about the places he went. It was all about the people he met. It was all about his conduct. It was all about even in his work. Remember this. Paul, to not be a burden, became a tent maker. He worked with his hands so he wasn't a burden to anybody else. Even in his work, he was a testimony. We have such a struggle in our Christianity of trying to be able to bring Christianity in with our life. And for so many of us, it's still a separate thing. Because our work is one thing. Our home life is another. The way we are outside in a day-to-day is one thing. But then when we're in church, that's another side of us. For Paul, it wasn't all these different sides. It was just how we lived. And for me and you, as we're going to see as we go through, our Christian life is all about our service. It's what you're doing. That is what God is going to judge one day. That is what God is going to look at in detail one day. And that's not to say whether you're going to go to heaven or hell, because if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are saved and you will see the kingdom of God one day. But what you choose to do with your life and in your service, God will look in a very detailed way at that. And he goes on and he says that to the weak, I became as weak so that I can win the weak. I've become all things to all men that I might by all means save some. You see, again, Paul's outlook was, whatever way I can, I am going to reach people for Christ. In whatever way I can, whatever means possible, I will try to reach them for Jesus. Now, I just wonder tonight, and I have to look at my own life, I wonder if any of our lives are really lived with that in mind. I wonder if we even think about our Christianity and think, is my Christianity in any way with that view in mind of trying to reach someone for Jesus? Do I think about that daily? Is it more about how I feel? You know, I'm having an hard time. Lord, help me today. I want to feel better about myself. Or, Lord, please do this. Help me family do this. And our Christianity is all about how we feel. For Paul, it was never really about how he felt. He knew Jesus. He knew there would be very, very hard times and good times. He knew there would be times when he had plenty and the times when he'd have nothing. He knew all them things. For him, that was Christianity. That was his life. But his purpose and his goal with his life was that in any way he could, to have a door open to reach whatever person it was. That was his aim. So he said, I've become all things to all men. He says in verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. There, he's writing to the Corinthians. The Corinth is a city in Greece. There in Corinth, there was a games, just like the Olympic Games, there was a games called the Isthmus Games. It was just behind the Olympic Games, it was the most well-known games throughout all of the empire at the time. It was a very, very well-known games. Now the word Paul uses for run in a race is the word stadia. The stadia was a 200 metre sprint. Just like, really, when you watch the Olympics today, it doesn't matter what sport it is, whether it's swimming or running, fencing, shooting, whatever it is, the most well-known sport or the race in it all is the 100-metre sprint. Whoever wins that 100-metre sprint is the most famous athlete in the world. That's really how it was here. It was a 200-metre or 630-foot sprint. It was called the stadium. And whoever won that race was the most famous athlete in all of the Roman Empire. Every 2 years these games were held. So for 2 years you were like a superstar, you were like a film star. If you won, that's how important these games were. So when Paul is speaking about these terms, these are terms these people really understood everything about. He's talking to the city that held one of the most famous sporting events that would ever take place in the fall of the Roman Empire. And so he says that those who run in a race, only one receives the prize. Run in a way that you may obtain it. You see, when someone runs in a race, there might be 10 other people. Everyone that's running all wants to win. Nobody enters in that race and thinks, you know what, I hope he wins. I'm going to try to get to the end. They train, they dedicate themselves, they go about and they sacrifice, all for one aim, for one purpose, to win the race. And so Paul says, run in a way that you're the only one that's going to win the prize. You see, if we were all running in a race, And at the end of that race was the chance of life or death. And whoever lost would die, and the one person that would get hold of that prize would win and they would live. You would run in such a way to get it. You wouldn't be worrying about a cramp. You wouldn't be worrying about a pain or that you were tired. You would run as if everything depended on it. And these athletes who ran in these races, they were dedicated to what they were doing. For 10 months of the year, before this race came up, for 10 months, they would train daily. They would sacrifice the pleasures of certain foods. They would sacrifice the luxuries of life. They would really go to town in their training for 10 months. A month before the race, they would move from wherever they were, they would move to Corinth, where they would live and be under strict training for the last month. The race was so important. It meant everything to the athlete that was involved in it. And so we give everything. Paul tries to use that term, that analogy really, for us today, for us to try to understand how important it is in the race that we're running. He tries to make it so important. And he goes on, he says that everyone competes for the prize is temporal in all things. And they do it to obtain a perishable crown. But we, for an imperishable crown. He really tries to make it clear that those who compete, they're temporal. That means is that they self-sacrifice. They show self-restraint. They know the things which are no good for them. And so they don't involve themselves in it. An athlete knows if he gets up every morning and he eats chocolate donuts, they might be lovely to the taste, but they're going to be no good for him to win the race. And so he cuts out the things which are no good to him. He sacrifices. You see, for me and you, there are plenty of things which are just no good for us. They're no good for your Christianity. They're no good for your testimony. They're no good for your witnessing, telling anybody about the Lord. And so we have to realise that those things we just have to get rid of. Romans tells us, in Romans 12, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Jesus says that anyone that will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself, and follow me. You see, Paul tries to show that we are all athletes. Now, most of us probably don't look like athletes, but we're still running in a very important race. Amen. And there are certain things in our life that we've got to realise have to go. They just don't do us any good. They make the race very difficult. And the thing to understand is the race he's not talking about getting to heaven. Many people use this to say, you know, we're locking up, we've got to train, we've got to run, and we're going to get there one day. He's not talking about getting to heaven. There's nothing me and you can add to salvation. So the moment I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I can't make myself any more saved than I was that day. You can't make yourself, if you are truly put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's nothing you can do to make you any more saved. You belong to Him. You're His child. But what Paul is talking about, the prize he's speaking about, is this crown. You see, he says they run for a crown. They train for 10 months of the year. They suffer, they sacrifice, they race. But for a crown that's made of celery leaves, it would perish. It wouldn't last. But he says the crown that you race for is an imperishable one. It means it will never rot away, it will never waste away. So what we run for, the Bible speaks about, are the are the crowns of reward. You see, the race we all run in, and every one of our races is slightly different. Because really, the only one we're racing against is ourselves. You know, I'm not competing against you, and you're not competing against me. Paul uses the picture to try to make it clear how dedicated the athletes are. The desire, the want that they have to succeed. You see, every one of our races we have is our own. It's my service to God. It's what I do with my life that God looks at. It's what you do with your life is what God looks at. It's how you live. It's the things you sacrifice for Him. In your life is really what allows you to be able to reach people and to serve Him. You see, if my testimony stinks, if I'm out and I'm having a drink with my mates on the weekend, Sunday morning I'm in church, if I'm out through the week and I'm telling lies to get me living and I'm ripping people off and I come to church, what testimony is my life? What people can I reach with that life? What people can I help with that life? No one. I can't do nothing with that life. But a life that's committed to the Lord, a life that's lived in holiness and, you know, and godliness. You know, when I go to someone and I can try to reach them for Jesus, then that person may just listen. That person may just say, you know what, you don't do them things anymore. You don't go on like that anymore. You're not like the rest of the people I've seen around. Maybe they listen. Maybe you can reach someone that nobody else can. You see, it's the life that we all live is really what the race is. And we run, that we should live in such a way that we are going to obtain the prize. And the prize isn't eternal life. Yes, ultimately that is what we're all given. That's the, you know, the blessing of knowing Christ. It's what we are given. But the crowns that we receive are all to do with reward for the way we've lived. And that's what Paul has in view. Thessalonians 2:19 specifically speaks about the soul winner's crown, the crown of rejoicing for those who have been wise to save souls. There's five crowns which are named in the Bible. Five different crowns. Now there may be more. I'm sure you've looked at that before. It goes back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But the crown of righteousness, the crown of life, the crown of glory, the incorruptible crown, and the crown of rejoicing. These are all rewards for the way that we have lived our lives. Paul goes on, he says, Therefore I run like this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. You see, there in the games, there was what they called a herald. And what the herald would do, he would announce the athletes' names, he would announce the sport that was taking place, he would announce those who were disqualified for whatever reasons. And Paul uses himself really as a herald, and also a runner. He's the herald because he preaches the message of the cross. But he's also a runner, the same as everybody else. And he says, I have to discipline my body. The idea is he uses the picture of one who beats the air. He goes from the idea of a runner to a boxer in the games. And the idea is when they would box, they would strap leather around their knuckles Sometimes they'd have pieces of lead, sometimes they'd have spikes. When they box in those games, it wasn't for fun. You know, you would fight until the other person was either dead or they would just give in. When you got into that sport, you either had to defeat them and stop them, because if you didn't, they were going to stop you. And they would train and they would discipline their body. The idea really is where we get the word for being hit with a black eye. That's where we get the idea. It's to be disciplined in the way to fight. And really what he's saying is, anybody that goes into a fight, any boxer, they train very, very hard. Again, the idea is sacrifice. It's about knowing the opponent, it's about the training, it's about all of them things. The Bible tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. That's part of our life. Not only are we're in service to God and we're trying to reach people and we're trying to be a testimony, but we're in a spiritual battle. And the same way as Paul says that he disciplines his body, you know, within that battle, there are things that we have to sacrifice. There are certain things we don't do. There are certain places we don't go. There are certain people we don't be around anymore. Because we have to discipline ourselves. We discipline ourselves because of the battle, because of the fight we're in. And so he says, I discipline my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest when I have preached to others, I may myself become disqualified. And disqualification, again, isn't about being lost. It's not about, I'm not going to heaven. The idea is that you're no longer in the fight. You're no longer in the race. Your service has stopped. The battle that you were in has stopped. You're no longer doing anything of any effect with your life. 1 Corinthians 3 speaks about one day we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and our work, our life will be judged. And it's all what Paul's speaking about. Remember, the chapter's leading up to where he is. Chapter 8, beginning of chapter 9, it was all about other people. It was all about reaching them. Benefiting them, helping them, don't be a stumbling block to them. There he's on about reaching them with the gospel. There he goes on really about who you can reach and the way that you can reach them. It's all about what your life can do in the service of God with somebody else. We all need, as the Bible tells us, to press on. Our lives, believe it or not, our lives always affect somebody else. Now it could be for the better, or it could be for the worse. I want my life, the people I meet, the people I come across, I want it to be able to do something better for them. We should all want that. Your life can change somebody else's. But it all depends on the way you choose to live. And that's what Paul is on about. It's how we choose to live. It's running the race to reach the prize. Amen. Let's just pray tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your word. My God, I ask you tonight, Lord God, that you would just stir us up. That my God, please, Lord God, as we look to Paul, as we look to his message, my God, that we can reach all people. Help us that in our lives, my God, we would be able, my God, to be on the level, my God. Lord, in whatever way we can, my God, let our lives, my God, be a testimony, my God. Let our lives bring glory to you, my God. Let our service, my God, stand for something, my God. But please, Lord, that one day, Lord, when we stand before your throne, my God, we would have something to offer, something to give. Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, is there any questions?
Do you have questions?